Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Now, since we entered the feast at Faith Camp, I've had the privilege of going to Germany and leading a whole group of people into the feast there. And last weekend, I was in France with all the leaders from across the nation in Youth with a Mission, about 100 of them. And we led them into the feast, and we had a glorious, glorious time. God was moving very profoundly and deeply in the lives of his people there. This is a new day. We're going to be entering more and more fully into the feast in these coming weeks and months, so you won't miss out if you weren't at camp and feel that you missed something vital. Everybody's going to be gathered into the feast in these coming weeks and months. And I said to you then and since, when I was speaking here on a Sunday, that there are these four key elements to the feast: the glory, the holiness, the love, and the victory. And all four of these will obviously come more and more into focus during these coming weeks. We're going to be focusing in the weeks ahead especially on the love. But you see, each of these four things relates in relation to the others. So the love of God is a glorious love, it's a holy love, and it's a victorious love. So whichever way you look at it, all four work together. It's a glorious victory, it's a holy victory, it's a loving victory. And what I want to do this morning is really prepare the way for what God is going to do in the coming weeks in relation to bringing us all into a fresh revelation of his love. Because the more we live in the feast, the greater we will come to know him in his love. And I'm going to use a prophetic word that God spoke to me in October last year, and that I actually used last weekend when I was in France with those YWAM leaders. It's a very powerful expression of God's love for us. And like all true prophecy, you can test every statement and see that it is a reflection of the truth of God's word. Right. All true prophecy can be tested in that way. Is this what the word of God actually says? So we can receive this word with confidence because it comes out of the revelation of Scripture. And the reason why we're doing this is because John says in his first letter that we can only love because he has first loved us. So the greater the revelation of the love of God that we have, the greater will become our capacity to love. And you see, because that impinges upon these other three keys as well, then our greater our capacity to love, the more we will live in the glory, the more we will know the Lord in his holiness, and the more we will walk in victory. Amen. And it's been interesting because Pastor Clive didn't know what I was going to be saying this morning, that he was just talking about the victory, and we were praying about the victory over our lives and over the lives of the people on the blue cards. Now, the scripture that we begin with is what Jesus said in John 15, that as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. God's love is never dependent upon what we're doing at any given moment. It's based upon what he has already done. He has already loved us. So we're going to put this statement up on the screen in a moment. so that you, this prophetic word, so that you can, we can really just go through it together. But please resist the temptation to read through it. Just go through it with me at the pace that I'll take you through it all, don't worry. But, you know, don't just read ahead. And you don't have to write it down because it's on my website, the Colin.Urquhart website. It's one of the blogs that's on there. So hopefully we can have it on the screen. Now, it begins with this statement. Remember, this is the Lord speaking originally to me, but he's also speaking his words to you. When we come to the end, what he says at the end of the prophecy, you will see that this is just as much a prophecy for you as it is for me. It's a word for any of God's children because it's describing the love that he has for his children. And you see that first statement there. Consider the love that lies behind wanting you for myself. Now, what does the scripture reveal? That God has not only called and chosen us, but he's purchased us for himself. Now, why has he purchased you for himself? Because of his love for you. And this is the way that God began this word with me. Just consider, just stop and think for a moment of the love that lies behind wanting you for myself. You see, he wants you for himself. A love that is eternally the same. It's not a love like our human love. It's totally different. This is the problem, you know. I find when people say to non-believers, God loves you, they can't really understand what we're talking about because they can only understand human love. They can't understand God's love. And God's love is so intrinsically different from human love. Our human love is based very much upon emotion and feelings. His love is based upon the reality of who he is. And it's got actually nothing to do with emotion and feelings. Of course, it touches our emotions as it touches every part of our lives. But his love is a love that is eternally the same. That means his love for you never changes. No matter how you feel, no matter what your performance,
thank you, Jesus.
No matter what's happening in your circumstances,
yep.
No matter whether you're having an easy time or a difficult time, whether you feel supported or opposed, whether you feel loved or unloved, his love for you is always the same.
Amen.
It's eternally the same. God cannot change. So it's a consistent love, and it's faithful. He is faithful in loving. He loves you consistently. His love for you never, ever changes. Now, you can be close to that love sometimes. You can feel close to that love sometimes. You can feel a million miles away from that love, but the love is still the same because it's not dependent upon your feelings. And he is always faithful. Remember what the scripture says? You can test all these things from scripture. That even when you are unfaithful, he remains faithful.
Amen.
You see, because his love is consistent. If we are ever unfaithful to God in any way, that's because we have lapsed in some way in our love for him. But he never lapses in his love for us. So his love is always consistent and always faithful. It's a love that deals with you. Remember, this is the Lord speaking to you. It's a love that deals with you in mercy, with mercy and compassion. How did you first come to know that love? Through his mercy. When he first forgave you of your sins. When he first made you a new creation and the old was gone and the new came. He touched your life with his mercy. He showed compassion on you. You actually began to understand that even while you were a sinner, Christ died for you. That even while you were a sinner, Christ had shown his love for you. It's a love that desires to enfold you. I mean, you know, this was God speaking to me just one morning in my prayer time. A love that desires to enfold you. I was receiving this personally. I hope you receive it personally.
Amen.
See, a love, he wants to enfold you in that love. When he says, abide in my love, live in my love, why does he say that? Because he wants to enfold us in that love. That's not a feeling because, you know, if you walk along the street, you don't necessarily feel enfolded in your love, but actually you are. You are abiding, you are living in, you are enfolded in that love. So it's a love that desires to enfold you and to touch every area of your life. So God has poured that love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, as we shall see in a moment. But that love doesn't remain just in our spirits. It's to impact every area of our souls and even our bodies. He wants to touch us spiritually, emotionally, physically. But the love is born of the Spirit. It's not born of the emotion. Can you see that? That's the important thing. That's the difference between God's love and our love. It's not born out of emotion. It touches our emotions, but it isn't born out of our emotions. But in that love, his love for you is so great, he wants to touch every area of your life. There's nobody else like that. Not even your husband, your wife, your children, those who are close to you. None of them want to touch every area of your life in the way that God does. Even the secret hidden parts that aren't ever exposed to anybody else, he wants to touch with his love, so that you just become an embodiment of his love. Hallelujah. This is a love that meets you at every point of need and provides for you in the best possible way. You see, if you love someone, you never want to see them left in need, do you? And you know, there are a lot of Christians, they pray for God to answer their needs, but they don't necessarily draw near to him in his love before they ask him to do that. And we'll see that faith, the faith that we generate in our lives, the faith that we express in our lives, actually comes out of the revelation of God's love for us.
Yeah.
And the Lord explains this in a moment. So it's a love that meets you at every point of your need and provides for you in the best possible way. I said 2 or 3 weeks ago that now we have entered into the feast. We're going to see God's abundance.
Amen.
We will see God's abundant provision for us personally. We will see his abundant provision for us corporately. We will see that in every conceivable way. Materially, financially, spiritually, in relationships, in every way. We will just be living in a new dimension of abundance that most of you have never, ever realized it was possible for you to live in. This is because we're going to enter more and more fully into the feast. Hallelujah. It's a love that is always attentive to you. You listen to those who you love. Amen? And so he is always attentive to you and hears every word you utter in prayer. You can't pray anything without him paying attention to what you've said and actually without him answering you. But remember that what he says, that he will give us whatever we ask in prayer if we believe.
Yep, that's right.
It's a love that constantly brings fresh revelation. Why? Because love, the very word love, speaks of relationship, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And so the more we are living in the revelation of God's love, the more revelation we receive of Him, yeah, of His love for us, yeah, of what His will and purpose is for our lives, both personally and corporately. We just live in that flow of revelation, and it's always new and fresh. I mean, I've known the love of God for me personally for over 60 years. When I first came to the Lord when I was a child, I don't know, 9, 10, something like that, I just knew, I knew. And I didn't come from a Christian home or Christian background at all, but I just knew from that moment God loved me. And I can stand before you and honestly say that in all those 60 years and more, I have never, ever, ever, for a moment of time, not even for a fraction of a second, ever questioned God's love for me.
Thank you.
Once you know God's love, you know God's love.
Yes.
And you know that nothing can ever separate you from that love. That it's got absolutely nothing to do with your circumstances, your feelings, or what's going on around you, or what others do to you. Nobody, nothing in the whole of creation can separate you from that love. So you live constantly in that revelation of His love, and it grows stronger and stronger and stronger. As you know, I've had the privilege of living in revelations of love that I believe are only expressed in times of revival, and have seen that love and known that love and been part of that love. And this is what God is taking us into in these coming weeks and months. It's that dynamic of love that is different in kind, really, from what you normally see among believers and Christians. But it's God's love, and it has to be God's love in us. But you see, it's a love that constantly brings fresh revelation and gives you assurance. You see, if you know that love, you have absolute assurance that it doesn't matter how you feel, it doesn't matter what happens to you, it doesn't matter what attack you feel you're under, you have that absolute assurance of His love. You know He loves you, you know He's Lord, you know He's in control, you know He's in charge, you know nothing can ever separate you from that love, you know that He hears you know that He knows all about it, you know that He's with you know He's going to lead you through, you know the whole thing is going to end in victory. You have that total assurance because you know His love. And it's a love that points you in the way that you are to go. So, it's a love that gives direction to our lives. Can you understand that God is love, and therefore every single word He has ever spoken to you or to anybody else has been spoken in love?
Yes.
Even if He needs to discipline and correct, even if sometimes He says things that offend you and you don't like it, and He can do that, He's done it to me enough times, I'm sure He can do it to you too. It's always spoken in love, and it's always for our good. Amen? So it's a love that gives you strength and comfort. It's a love, where does your strength come from? It's not your own human strength. Those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. Why is that? Because as you wait upon the Lord, you're conscious of His love. That gives you strength. That gives you comfort. Now, comfort is, the real meaning of comfort is, come means to be with, and the fort is the strength. God comes alongside you and gives you His strength. You know, when God says in Isaiah 40, comfort my people, says your God, He means go and give them strength. He doesn't mean say, there, you poor dears, I know how difficult it is, and I know how you suffer, and I feel so sorry for you. That's not comfort in Scripture. comfort is God getting alongside his people and giving them strength. Amen. So it's a love that gives you strength and comfort. But I mean, it does give us comfort in the other sense as well. A love that protects you from all evil. You say, well, wait a minute, there's all kinds of things that have happened in my life that I haven't liked. Yeah, but how much more has he protected you from? I mean, I would not be standing here if at a number of points God had not protected me. I can think immediately of three or four, actually, even as I'm thinking, times when the devil tried to kill me. And if it hadn't been for the Lord's protection, I wouldn't be here. There's no time to go into the testimony of how he did that. But on one occasion, a car was going to leave the road, driving straight for me. Nobody else in the middle of the night, just drove straight for me, and then at the last moment swerved away. That was the Lord's protection. I don't know that I ever told my wife about that, because I thought she might. That was back in the Luton days, so it's a long time ago. But didn't want to get her worried, you know. She was probably pregnant at the time. No, you weren't pregnant at the time. We'd had all three by then. But anyway, you protect those who you love. So, but you see, the Lord does protect us. But even when we are afflicted, he's still there, as you will see. It's a love that drives you ever closer to me. See, it's a love that he draws us. It's the love of God compels us. It's attractive. The love of God is so attractive. I mean, you just want more and more and more of that love. A greater revelation of that love draws you ever closer to me, so that I am always waiting for you. You see, you would not have any problems in prayer. You would not have any problems with praying and feel that it was a burden if you really were aware of how much God loved you. And that God is always waiting for you in the prayer room. You know, Jesus says, go into the secret place, and shut the door, and pray to your Father in secret, and he who sees what is done in secret will reward you openly. He's waiting for you in that secret place. He's disappointed if you don't turn up. He says, where were you this morning? Oh, well, I was busy, I was doing this. But I was waiting for you in the secret place. Because I love you. And you deprived me of my time of fellowship with you. You see, we've got to look at it from God's perspective, not just our own. You think, well, wait a minute. How can we deprive God of fellowship? Well, he loves you. And if you love people, you want to be with them. You want quality time with them. Don't you? Right? So it's a love that means he's always waiting for you and he's ready to meet with us. If you believe that, you would spend time to meet with him. Amen? And you wouldn't just fill your prayer time with, words about, oh Lord, do this and do this and help here and help there. He says, wait a minute, let's have some quality time together, shall we? Why don't you just be quiet and listen to what I want to say to you in love? See, and build up that faith that comes from knowing his love. It's a love that knows and understands you and all the longings of your heart. You see, he understands you better than you understand yourself. Certainly better than your husband or wife understands you, and better than your children understand you. You can't hide a motive, a desire, an intention from him. He understands everything. And he knows the longings of your heart. He knows when you long for him or when you long for the end of the prayer time. Or the service. Or the sermon. It's a love that is far greater than any other love known to man. You have the privilege of being loved with the greatest love that there is. There is no greater love than the love with which Jesus loves you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's a love that fills you with joy and delivers you from grief.
Thank you, Lord.
Remember, Jesus bore our grief when he went to the cross? And Jesus said to the disciples, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." And he said that just after those words we quoted at the beginning, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Remain in my love. You will remain in my love if you obey my commands, just as I remain in my Father's love by obeying his commands. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." All comes out of that revelation. Joy is coupled with that revelation of his love. It's a love that never fails you.
Yeah.
You see, he is love, yes? He is always with you. He's always there. He lives within you. And it's an unfailing love.
Yeah.
It's an eternal love. That love never fails you.
Amen.
You might fail to trust in that love,
yeah,
but if you trust in his love, that love will never fail you. Isn't that good?
Yes.
Faith working through love. So it's a love that never fails you and encourages you to persevere at all times.
Amen.
You know, when you're tempted to give up,
yes,
it's the love of God within you saying, no, persevere. Keep going, keep going, keep going. Don't lose hope. Don't lose faith. Don't lose your sense of dependence upon me. Just keep going. Persevere. I'll take you through. And you know, if the going gets too tough for you, I'll lift you up and carry you.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Beloved, this is a love that watches over you. You see, if he knows your thoughts from afar and your words even before they're on your lips, and the scripture says that, then he's watching over you constantly, all the time. There's never a moment of time when God is not aware of you and of what is going on in your life. Now that's real love. You might forget about him sometimes, not be conscious of him, but there's never a moment when he is not conscious of you. What love, eh? So it's a love that watches over you, encourages you. So many words of encouragement to those he loves. Warnings, we looked at that, I think, 2 or 3 weeks ago. Warnings to those who don't love him, but encouragement to those who do. And brings correction whenever this is necessary. That's good, isn't it? I mean, you know, when you're bringing up children, they don't always do what they should do. Have you discovered that? And sometimes they need correction. But what you're doing is you're correcting them in love for their own good, aren't they? And so God, in his love for you, will bring correction when that's necessary. Hallelujah. It's a love that washes away all sin and makes you holy in my sight. Now, the only way that you can tell that I typed this myself is that it says "and my sight" instead of "in my sight." When I type anything, I always ensure there is a hidden mistake. Then everybody knows, oh, that's imperfect Colin that's done that. Okay. So it's a love that washes away all sin. I mean, this is the amazing thing. He knows all that's going on. And yet in his mercy, washes away the sin and makes you holy. The scripture says that you have been made holy and are called to be holy. But that's his love. Because, I mean, you see, if you hadn't been made holy, you couldn't go to heaven. Because only the holy can go to heaven. Scripture is very clear about that. So if you don't like holiness, you would be out of place in heaven. You wouldn't enjoy heaven at all, because everybody in heaven is holy. But the other place isn't a very good alternative. I think it's better to desire heaven, isn't it? Amen? It's more than 40 degrees in the other place. And there's no air conditioning either. So, it's a love that washes away your sin and makes you holy in my sight. A love that has saved you. Saved you completely. Yes. Now, what most Christians don't realize, they know they've been saved from sin. They know they've been saved from their past. They know they've been saved from the devil. But they don't realize they've been saved from themselves. God has saved you from yourself. What a mess you would have made of your life otherwise. I mean, probably most of you were making a big enough mess of it when you got saved. Eh? But you would have made an even greater mess of it if you never got saved. And God has taken you out of that. He saved you from yourself. And he gives you victory over the enemy. Now, you see, the more you know the love of God, the easier it is to submit to him. Right? And what does the scripture say? Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. And so many people come or try to come against the enemy and what he does without first submitting themselves to the Lord. Right. But you see, the more you know his love, the easier it is to submit. And so the more victory you have. Because you've submitted yourself to him, when you come against the enemy, he flees from you because he's confronted with the one to whom you've submitted yourself. He's not too afraid of you, but he is afraid of the one to whom you submit yourself. And when he sees you submitted to him, he says, you are going to speak and act with the authority of the one to whom you've submitted. That's the importance of that. It's a love that stands with you in every time of stress and conflict. This is an amazing word, you know. I can remember the time when God gave me, it just sort of flowed one thing after another. And I thought, dear Lord, this is the love in which you've held me all these years. Every time of stress and conflict, he's there. Never leaves you, never fails you. Hallelujah. It's a love that desires the very best for you as my son or daughter or child. He desires the very best for you. He never wants second best for you. He's never a God who is satisfied with the satisfactory. He's only satisfied with the best. Amen? And he wants the very best for you. That's why you belong to Kingdom Faith. Because this is a church that is going for the very best that God has. And that means we give our best in order to receive the best, but that's all part of the deal, as we'll see. It's a love that knows all your words before you speak. That's how intimately he loves you. The prayers of your heart before you utter them. You see, it's not the words he answers so much as the heart that expresses those words. He can see what's in the heart even before you speak. It's a love that brings healing to your soul and body. See, every work that God does in your life is a work of love. Are you there? Yes. It's a love that ensures that my plan and purpose for you will be fulfilled. All you've got to do is keep walking with him, and he leads you in the fulfillment of his victory, of his purpose. And as he says that he always leads us in victory, then we know his purpose for us is victory. Yes. We're overcomers. Remember all those promises in Revelation chapters 2 and 3 about those who overcome will inherit the crown of life and so on? Well, God ensures that we do have stuff to overcome, otherwise we couldn't be overcomers and couldn't inherit all those wonderful things. So isn't he good to lead us in his triumphant procession in order that we are able to overcome? Anybody still at the same meeting that I'm at? Yeah. Okay, it's a love that goes ahead of you to prepare a place for you, because he loves us with the same love with which he loved those first disciples. He said, I'm going ahead to prepare a place for you. Yeah. Isn't it amazing he's prepared a place for you? It's got your name tag on it. Now you want it to be in the third heaven, don't you? The highest heaven. Because everybody there has a throne. They're enthroned with him. So we're going for a throne. We're going for the crown of life. Yes?
Yes.
We're giving him our best. Okay. And yet a love that has come to make my home with you. And I preached about that a few months ago. There's no time to get into that. But it's amazing how he's prepared the place, and yet he also has come to make his home with us now. Isn't it good that Jesus is at home with you?
Yes.
The Father is at home with you. That's what Jesus said. The Father and the Son will come to make their home with you. Isn't that amazing? Absolutely amazing. Well, just make sure that he feels at home. What you do and the way you think and the attitudes you have, the way you relate, you know. Let him really feel at home. It's a love that desires your love in response. Why? Because he doesn't want unrequited love, does he?
That's it.
He doesn't want frustrated love, where he's loving and loving and loving us and he doesn't get anything back in return. He gets that from the world because he's already died for all sinners, and many people out there in the world couldn't care less. But those that he's chosen for himself, those in whom he's placed his love, he wants that love to be returned, doesn't he?
Yes.
He wants us to know that great love for him so that we have great love for him. He wants us to know his great love for us so that we have that great love for him. Okay. It's a love that wants to be expressed in your life. See, remember, this love is Jesus himself. This love is God himself. It's not just that you have a dose of love from God. He is love. He is that love that he's put within you. So it's a love that wants... He lives there. He's made his home with you because he wants to express that love in your life.
Come on.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
So that you love others with that same love with which he's loved you. Selfishness grieves him, doesn't it?
Yes.
Loving others blesses him.
Yes.
Glorifies him. But he doesn't like it when people are selfish, and especially if they've received his love. He said, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? Look how much I've loved you. Why don't you love others in the same way that I love you? Because that's also my word. Okay. So it's a love that wants to be expressed in your life so that you love others with the same love with which I have loved you. A love that is higher than any other love for you. So it's greater than the love of all, you know, your husband, your wife, your children, and everybody else, you know. It's much higher love, much greater love, much more perfect love than we are ever possible, than it's ever possible, humanly speaking. But because it's a higher love, it demands a higher response. A similar response. That your love for me is first and foremost. That's for the health of your marriage and your family and your business life and everything else. If he is first, everything else is touched by his love. But if you put anything above him, Jesus says you can't be his disciple. Even if you put your love for someone else above your love for him, you can't be his disciple. So that doesn't sound so good, does it? It's a love that shows my devotion to you. Why does he want us to be devoted to him? Because he's already devoted to us. Hello? It's a love that shows my devotion to you and desires a similar devotion from you. We are to love with the same love with which he's loved us. So we are to be we are to be devoted to him in the same way that he's devoted to us. And you think of all these things he just said to us, and you think, goodness me, is he really devoted to me like that? And the answer is yes, he is. Perhaps you haven't known that love in that way or to that degree, the fullness of that love, but every statement here is true about you. It's a love for you that is so great, you will never be able to grasp how vast it is, how long and high and wide and deep. It's vast. God doesn't think you crept into the kingdom while the angels were asleep. And God doesn't know you're there. No, he called you, he chose you in love because he wanted you. Hallelujah. It's a love that has made you one with me and I with you for all eternity. Amazing. See? It's a love that can't end because it's eternal love. God can't sort of suddenly say, bang, that's it, my love for you ends now. You've gone too far. Look how far the prodigal son went, but he was restored and taken in love into the feast. Whereas his self-righteous religious brother refused to go into the feast. Critical, judgmental. You can't go into the feast with a heart like that, but we know that now, don't we? This is true love, my beloved. The love in which I hold you now and for all eternity. It is in the good of this love that I want all my children to live. What a God. What love. Let's all stand, shall we? And perhaps, Andrew, you could take it back to the beginning, because we're all going to read this. And I want you to read it out loud, realizing that God is speaking to you personally. Yeah, he means it for everybody else around you, but you know, sometimes we think, oh yeah, well that's for everybody else, but it couldn't really be for me. But it is for you. So are you ready? Let's read it together. Consider the love that lies behind wanting you for myself. A love that is eternally the same, consistent and faithful. A love that desires to enfold you and touch every area of your life. A life that makes you meet the point of need and provides for you in the best possible way. A love that is always attentive to you, hears every word you utter in prayer. A love that constantly brings you fresh revelation, that gives you assurance and points the way in which you are to go. A love that gives you strength and comfort. A love that protects you from all evil. A love that drives you ever closer to me so that I am always waiting for you and am ready to meet with you. A love that knows and understands you and all the longings of your heart. A love that is far greater than any other love known to man. A love that fills you with joy and delivers you from grief, a love that never fails you and encourages you to persevere at all times. Beloved, this is a love that watches over you, encourages you, and brings you correction when this is necessary. A love that washes away all sin and makes you holy in my sight. a love that has saved you and gives you victory over the enemy. A love that stands with you in every time of stress and conflict. A love that desires the very best for you as my son. A love that knows all your words before you speak, the prayers of your heart before you utter them. A love that brings healing to your soul and body. A love that ensures that my plan and purpose for you will be fulfilled. A love that goes ahead of you to prepare a place for you, and yet a love that has come to make my home with you. A love that desires your loving response. A love that wants to be expressed in your life so that you love others with the same love with which I have loved you. A love that is higher than any other love for you and demands a similar response, that your love for me is first and foremost. A love that shows my devotion to you and desires a similar devotion from you. A love for you that is so great you will never be able to grasp how vast it is. A love that has made you one with me and I with you for all eternity. This is true love, my beloved, the love in which I hold you now and for all eternity. It is in the good of this love that I want all my children to live. Just lift your hands and thank the Lord. Just thank Him for that love. There's no time, as I wanted to talk about the relationship between this love and the victory, but we'll come to that in weeks ahead. But just thank Him now that He holds you in that love. It is the key to victory in your life, of knowing that it doesn't matter what situation you're in, He loves you. He holds you in that love. He desires the very best for you. Thank Him that that's His purpose in speaking to you like this today, that He wants the very best for you. Praise Him. Give Him all the glory. Give Him all the honor. Oh, we thank You, Lord. Thank You for the unchanging nature of this love. Thank You, Lord, that it's a love that never fails. It's a love that never changes. It's a love that never alters with circumstances. It's a love that is never affected by what is going on in us. Even, Lord, when we're not in a good place, Your love always remains the same. Your love is always stable. It's always full of compassion and mercy, always full and abounding with grace. And we give You all the glory. We give You all the honor. We thank You that it's a love that constantly wants to give to us. And we bless You, Lord, and we praise You. And Lord, our prayer this morning is that this love will be reflected in our lives, that we will love others in the same way that You have loved us, that we will grow in this revelation of Your love and grow in revelation for others. Thank You that it's a love that causes us to want to reach the lost. It's a love that causes us to want to serve and to reach out and touch the lives of others with Your love. Thank You that it's a love that moves us. It's a love that compels us to action. And we thank You, Lord, that's really the next part of the revelation, that out of Your love for us, that moves us to action. It moves us to be the people that You want us to be. It moves us to really love others in the same way with which You've loved us. But Lord, this morning we just thank You for this wonderful revelation of Your love for us. And we give You all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. And just before we close, just be still for a moment and know that He's touching you with that love. Even healing you because of that love. Meeting some other need because of your love. I just sense God saying, some of you have been praying about this and this and this, and actually you've been questioning whether He loves you because you've been evaluating His love from your circumstances instead of from the revelation of his word. And if only you start with his word and his revelation of love for you, that's what will change the circumstances. So just thank him now that because of his great love for you, your circumstances change. That healing takes place in your life. That need is met through the blood, through the sacrifice, through the love of Jesus. Just thank him that you can now face the future with confidence because you know that nothing in the whole of creation will ever separate you from that love. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for touching our hearts afresh and bringing us into a greater revelation of your love for the praise and honor of your name. Come on, let's give the Lord a great big thank you.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.